Good morning. Today's reading is from Colossians chapter 4, starting at verse 2, and that can be found on page 1184 of the Church Bibles. That's Colossians chapter 4, starting at verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Thanks, Helen. Do you like Helen's shirt? It's coming home. Or if you're not English, well, you know. Anyway, do please keep your Bibles open in front of you. If you haven't got a Bible, there are some just by the door, just there. I'd love you to have that there as we look at these, just this little reading today, as we think about being witnesses to Jesus. Let me pray as we come to God's Word. Our Father, we thank you that you have not left us alone. You have not left us in the dark, guessing what you are like, guessing how we are to live in your world. Now, you have spoken to us. You have sent us the Lord Jesus. You have given us the Bible, your definitive and authoritative word to us today. And you have filled us with your Spirit so that we can hear your voice and we can respond as you direct us by your Spirit working in us. So please do all those things today. Please help us to hear and understand. More than that, please help us to put into practice what you would say to us today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Other than your faith, is there something that you could talk to us all about very easily? Something that just with no preparation, you could pop up and you could talk to us for 10 minutes? A passion, an interest, something that's changed your life. I don't necessarily mean standing up at the front and speaking publicly. I know for some people that's just horrifying. You don't want to do that. That's fine. But is there a subject that might come up over coffee? You're chatting with someone, and this particular subject comes up and you're off. You just can't help talking about that TV show or that hobby that brings you so much joy. A diet plan that worked when nothing else would. An amazing holiday you've had, or the place you go every year. Maybe it's an app on your phone, maybe it's a podcast you listen to, a band you love. It brings you joy. It makes your life better. And you can't help kind of effusing about it to anybody who will listen. Is there something that you could just launch off on? Those things, I guess, are usually quite safe things to talk about, aren't they? You like talking about them. You want to share that interest. And that conversation is going to be low risk. Low risk, isn't it? The person you're talking to is very, very unlikely to be offended by what you're saying. You're telling them about a book you read or the music you love. It's unlikely to cause offense. Lots of us find it harder to talk about our faith in that way. We believe it's the greatest thing we could ever talk about. I hope you do. The thing that's changed our life more than anything else ever could. But we find it hard to strike up conversations because I think we worry about what the other person might think of us. Or at least that's one of the main reasons why we might be put off. We fear that they'll be offended in some way, that they almost certainly wouldn't if we're just telling them about our latest gadget or something like that. And it's not a completely unfounded fear, is it? Realistically, not very many people will be offended. Some might just think you're a crackpot. Lots of people will be genuinely interested, especially if they're your friend and they can see it's important to you. But the nature of the gospel message, the news of Jesus Christ, means that there will always be a level of offense. The Bible says, Jesus says, that we are all sinners who need to repent. We need a fundamental change in our lives if we're to be saved. He says we're so far gone that that's impossible without the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus tells us for sure that some people are going to reject that message, even though it's good news that the Spirit does do that in us. Some people will reject that message, and maybe they will reject you, the messenger, as well. Lots of people rejected Jesus, after all. We have the most amazing, most important, most exciting, life-changing, life-giving news the world has ever known. And today, as we continue to think about the nature of the church, we're thinking especially about sharing our faith, about being witnesses in this world for Jesus. A few weeks ago, if you were with us, the week after Easter, we looked at the last few words of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 28. Jesus commissions his followers to go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations, and he says he'll be with us as we do that. Now, I don't want to cover all the same ground today. You can go back and listen to Jeff's sermon on that if you want to on our website or on YouTube. Today, we're going to look briefly at this little passage in Colossians, and we're going to try and think practically about how we can be Jesus' witnesses in our homes, in our workplaces, with the people we meet out and about. So Colossians is a letter from Paul to a church, and this church is full of people who he mostly hasn't ever met. He hasn't been to Colossae. Somebody else has taken the gospel to Colossae and started a church, and Paul, when he hears about it, is thrilled about that. He basically writes them this letter to tell them, keep going. You've started out with Jesus, keep going with Jesus. Faith in him is what you need. It's important that we notice in this book where Paul is writing from. I wonder if you spotted in our passage, at the end of verse 3, he says, I am in chains. The second to last thing he writes in the letter, the very last verse, chapter 4, verse 18, is, remember my chains. He's in chains because of the gospel, because people have been offended by the message he brings about Jesus. But at the same time, this letter is full of joy, full of hope, because of that gospel message, because of the news of Jesus. In our little reading, Paul covers two things, and they're both sort of under the umbrella of this idea of sharing our faith, being witnesses to Jesus. We're going to see briefly that he tells us about talking to God about people and talking to people about God. Talking to God about people and talking to people about God. So verses 2 to 4, if you ever look down, are about prayer. Prayer for the message of Jesus to go out, talking to God about people. Devote yourselves to prayer, Paul says. Don't just dabble in prayer. Dip your toes in the water. No, be devoted, be steadfast in it. And straight away, some of us are feeling convicted, aren't we? We thought we were going to be challenged already when we heard it was about evangelism. And here we are being asked whether our prayer life is something we're devoted to. Devotion shows, doesn't it? Makes a difference to our lives. As we think about witnessing to Jesus, we've got to bear in mind there should be no evangelism without prayer. Lots of prayer. Because only God can change people's hearts. So are you praying for your non-Christian family members and friends and colleagues? I know lots of you are. Let's be devoted to that. Paul says to be devoted to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Watchful and thankful. He could have said, be alert, stay awake, be ready, and start with prayer. Paul asks his Christian readers to pray for him. So think for a moment, what would you ask if you were Paul writing this letter? This is how I think I would write verse 3. Verse 3, and pray for us too, that God would open a door for us. A door out of this prison. Ask the Lord that I might get rid of these chains, right? That's what I would ask for. But Paul has a much greater concern. He knows that his imprisonment will not last forever. Now, it might last the same length as the rest of his life. Might well do that. But then, glory. So don't worry too much about the chains, he says. Pray that God would open a door for what? Our message, verse 3. Pray that people would hear about Jesus. And you know, sometimes God uses people in prison for the message of Jesus to be heard. Paul knows that very, very well. whoever was in charge of guarding him as he wrote this letter, you can be sure they heard about Jesus again and again, didn't they? So, pray that the message would go out. And then specifically, he talks about prayer that he would proclaim a mystery and proclaim it clearly. His real desire is that people from every background, whoever the Lord leads him to, that they would hear, they'd be able to hear this news. It is news because, he says, it was a mystery. It was a mystery and now it's been revealed. So pray that I'd proclaim it clearly. That means speaking in a way that people understand, whoever they are. And Paul can talk about Jesus just as well in a synagogue as he can in the debating chamber in Athens or in the marketplace. He will speak to people in a way that they will understand about Jesus. We've got to keep going. We talk to God about people. Second, we're to talk to people about God. And Paul, second half of this reading, Paul puts it in lots of different ways for us, but I wonder if that idea of being watchful, staying awake and alert, is going to help us. You see, we're always on duty as Christians. Always on duty. Now, that doesn't mean we can't enjoy ourselves. It means the opposite of that. But the way we live our lives, and especially the words we choose, really matters. Really matter. Our actions and our words could have eternal consequences in somebody else's life. We could put them off. We might accidentally turn somebody away from Jesus. Or we could direct them towards him. We could point people towards salvation and life that they were made for, that Jesus offers. So all of our words matter, whether or not we're talking about him. Paul says, verse 5, be wise. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Don't be offended by the word outsiders, just in case you saw that word and you thought, oof, don't like that. He doesn't mean to be rude about anybody, not at all. It's really a factual thing. Each of us engages with a bunch of people in our lives who are outside the church at the moment. They're not part of the family of God at the moment because they're not in Christ. They don't have that relationship with him that makes them part of the body. So at the moment, they're outside. We'd love them to be in. We'd love them to be part of the family, wouldn't we? So be wise. Be ready. Be on duty. Understand that people are watching how you live and listening to what you say, whatever you're doing. Our actions and our words really matter. Be wise, be careful, be alert. And then he says, make the most of every opportunity. You see, there's a bit of a tension here. Be wise, work out what is an opportunity, and sometimes it isn't, but make the most of every opportunity. That's part of being wise. We're watching for the opportunities. We're keen to take them. One of the really liberating things about this, I think, is that Paul does not expect us all to be like him. We're not apostles. Some of us are great evangelists. We just can't help talking about Jesus all the time. Most of us find it a good bit harder than that. And so he doesn't say, make sure whatever you do, that every single day of the week before breakfast, you've already witnessed to 5 people and told them about Jesus. No. He doesn't tell us all to preach to thousands. He just says, be wise. Make the most of the opportunities that you have in your life when they come up. You don't have to be that slightly irritating person who can only ever talk about their faith and doesn't know what it is like to live on earth. You know, someone mentions a certain football match happening tonight and you just say, oh, did you notice there's a cross in the flag of England? That's interesting, isn't it? Don't be that person. Part of the wisdom call is working out what is an opportunity. Sometimes there isn't one, genuinely. So don't take it. But probably, I reckon, the majority of us are more likely to hold back when there is an opportunity than we are to dive in when there isn't. Do you see what I mean? So let's pray for that wisdom. Let's pray for that readiness to speak whenever God presents the opportunity. Let's think about how we speak. Verse 6. There are 3 things really here. How we speak, full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we know how to answer everybody. I think gracious speaking surely means we're never interested in just winning an argument, are we? That's not what it's about at all. We're not trying to look clever. Remember, God uses the foolish things of this world and the foolish people. Now, to speak graciously is to be kind, to be truthful, of course, and to be interested in the other person's point of view. And what could be more full of grace than to talk about the source of all true grace, the amazing grace that we have in God sending his Son to us. So, full of grace, and then seasoned with salt. I tend to think this means, seasoned with salt, I tend to think it means don't be boring. Whatever you do, don't be boring. Bring your personality in to your conversations about Jesus. Yes, be truthful. Yes, be faithful to what the Bible says about him, of course. But don't lecture. Don't talk as if you're just regurgitating your Bible study from last night or something like that. The last thing we should be is boring when we're talking about the most amazing news in the world ever. So be yourself. Be interesting. Talk about whatever you're into. And let your conversation be gracious, seasoned with salt. Interesting. Be gracious, be salty. And the last thing he says, that this is so we know how to answer everyone. How to answer. We might not know the answer, but we know how. There are some questions our friends might ask that we frankly just don't get the answers to in this life. There might be lots of questions that there are answers, but we don't know them yet. But we know how to answer, don't we? Graciously, engagingly. That might mean saying, look, I don't know. Don't know the answer to your question, but here is why I still hold that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and why I love him and why I'm living for him. And maybe I'll try and find out the answer to your question. I want to come back to one little detail in this reading before we talk about some practical things. It's the expression we noticed in verse 3, the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ. Paul is proclaiming a mystery, and he invites us to be ready to share that mystery too. Back in chapter 1, verse 26, Colossians 1, 26, he says that this mystery was kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. The next verse says that the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a mystery. For centuries and centuries, the people of God didn't really know how he would bring sinful humanity to be redeemed, how he would bring us to himself. And then Jesus came down. He made God known to us. The greatest mystery in all of history isn't a mystery anymore. It's been revealed. It's a message, glory. And we want to let that revealed mystery be part of our conversation, our life, whenever the opportunity arises. I've been recommending the last few weeks this little book, Love Your Church. You can get hold of it on our church bookstall if you go to our website and click on the link. Very cheap, really easy to read. I love it, really helpful. This week I read the chapter in here about being witnesses, and the author has this to say about it. He says, to be an effective witness, you need more than a knockdown argument on paper. You need a joyful song in your heart. You need more than logical answers. You need a heart captivated by Jesus. To be a good witness, you need first to adore Jesus and be filled with hope. Every Christian can be like this. Every Christian can be like this. So the main thing to do, if you want to answer Jesus' call and be an effective witness, the main thing to do is to prioritize your relationship with him first. Get to know Jesus better. Get to love him more. So yeah, read your Bible. Be devoted to prayer. Spend time with God's people. And then that love for him will inevitably overflow into our everyday lives. How could it not? We want to have a great love for Jesus. That's what we exist for, you know? But we also want a great love for the people in our lives who at the moment are outsiders when it comes to the church. We want a heart for the people we meet out and about who are lost without him. In the Gospels, in the Bible, when Jesus encounters those crowds of people who don't know the love of God, his compassion, the word that some of the Bible writers use is that it's as if he's been punched in the gut. That's how he feels when he comes across crowds of people who don't know the love of God. That's how he felt. Is that how we feel? Jesus was desperate for those people to come to know the peace and forgiveness that come through faith in him. So he loved them, he helped them, and yet he told them how to know God. Let's pray that we would have that same heart and the same action. One way we want to be wise is to, a way to make the most of opportunities is to make sure that we don't just expect people to come to us, right? We're here on Sundays and we think, well, hey, come and people join us. And sometimes they do, but we want to meet people where they're at, don't we? It's been really hard in a pandemic that there haven't been lots of ways to go out and meet people. Even things like English for You, we prayed earlier. It's been harder, although great that there has been a group that's kept going. How else can we get to know people in Highlands and around and love them and share the gospel with them? We've got youth football. Hopefully we'll be able to start doing things like an occasional outdoor service again soon. But we need to be out there, don't we? We need to be getting to know people. And collectively we are. We're at the school gate. We're maybe going back to our offices. We're in the shops. Are we looking for opportunities out and about, or do we keep our heads down? Individual, all about me. One thing we might have ready is a little thing called the Word One-to-One. I hope in the coming months you'll be hearing a lot more about it from me. I'm quite excited about it. It's really just a way to open up the Bible informally with somebody who's not a Christian, one-to-one. I don't know about you, it feels these days like people are perhaps less inclined to come to a church service, less inclined to come to an event or a course like Christianity Explored that they might have been before. But maybe you're talking with your friend and they say something about the fact that, oh, well, of course, I don't share your faith. They don't believe in God. And you say, well, do you know what the Bible says about God? Do you know anything about the God that you say you don't believe in? Have you ever read the Bible? Do you want to read a little tiny bit of the Bible with me? A lot of people would say yes to that, it turns out. This is a great way to do it. Have a look at thewordone-to-one.com if you get a moment. One thing I'd love is that if there are a few people, anyone today who thinks, well, that sounds good, I'd love to have a go at that with my colleague, my friend or whatever, have a word with me. I'd love to get a little group of us started on it so that we can sort of get going, we can share our stories, we can encourage others as the weeks and months go on. Do let me know if that sounds like something you'd like to have a go at. Finally, let's just try to think about being ready to speak about our faith, share our faith. Once in a while, somebody will say, hey, you're a Christian. What difference does it make to your life? And we'd better have an answer ready, hadn't we? I once heard a story about someone who said, that's never going to happen to me, and it happened that week. And he went, not a very good witness. Are you ready to speak about your faith? It does happen, but usually it's more subtle than that, isn't it? Maybe somebody's struggling and they come to you for support, for a shoulder to cry on, someone to listen. The best support of all comes from knowing Jesus, doesn't it? How could we point our friend to him carefully, lovingly? A lot of us heard a few weeks back from Jeremy Marshall, who has cancer. He's written a little book about it, Beyond the Big C. You might have a friend who could really benefit from reading that book. They might be really touched to receive it. More importantly, they might come to know Christ. I know someone who had a family member who was diagnosed with cancer, not someone they knew especially well, but had a relationship going back a long way. And so when they heard that news, they put one of these in an envelope with a card and sent it in the post. Really didn't have much to lose, did they? Is that something you could do? That is just one example, of course. There are a thousand more ways that we can be ready to make the most of opportunities. So let's pray for that attitude, shall we? Pray for opportunities and pray that we'd take them. Let's pray that together now. Our Father, we pray that you would give us that same heart that Jesus had. That when we see our friends and neighbours, our colleagues, our family members who don't know you, who don't know the extraordinary love you have for them, that we would be desperately concerned for them, that we would love to share our lives with them, that we'd be effective witnesses to the Lord Jesus and his saving work. Please help us to be wise. Please help us to notice when there are opportunities to share our faith, and please make us ready. Please make us bold. Help us to cross that pain line, perhaps, and say something, although there is a risk. We pray that through us, in our weakness, the message of Jesus would come to many, many people, and you would bring new life. We pray it to the glory of Jesus' name. Amen.